Find your sermon notes, if you would. Follow along as we go. As Dana said, we're going to be a little participatory, so you can sit if you want to, but we're going to make you stand again. All right?
But you can sit first if you want All to. Right. It's fine. Right. It's fine.
So I'm going to turn it over to Dana for just a moment. She's going to help us out with another little song to kind of get us in the mood for the message.
Yes, so Pastor put in a song request for today. Do any of you know Dim Bones? Raise your hand. Dim Bones. Okay. If you know it, please sing along, and then we're going to have some actions in a minute. Dim Bones, Dim Bones, Dim. Dry Bones, Dim Bones, Dim Bones, Dim. Dry Bones, Dim Bones, Dim Bones, Dim. Dry Bones, oh, hear the word of the Lord. Okay, I had kids up here at 8 o'clock. I don't have any kids up here, but I see you all out there. And if anyone wants to do this along with me, you start with your toes, okay? The toe bone's connected to the foot bone, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, the ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Back to your shin. The shin bone's connected to the knee bone, the knee bone's connected to the thigh bone, the thigh bone's connected to the hip bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. The hip bone's connected to the backbone. The backbone's connected to the neck bone. The neck bone's connected to the head bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. This is where you get to stand up and you get to dance and sing with me. Ready? Dim bones, gonna walk around. Dim bones, gonna walk around. Dim bones, gonna walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord. One more time, right, Pastor? They're not moving enough. Dim bones, gonna walk around. Dim bones, gonna walk around. Dim bones, gonna walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord.
All right, give yourself a round of applause. Very good, very good, very good. Go ahead and be seated. So that should get you in the mood for the message for today. It is one of the most delightful passages of the Old Testament, helping us whenever we are in the valley of the dry bones. However, we need to look at it from Ezekiel's point of view and from his perspective, and it is not quite as delightful when we get the full meaning of the passage. So Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones." So the context, Ezekiel is a prophet, and his people are all in captivity. Imagine being away from your family, your friends, your way of living. And most importantly, you are away from worship. You can't go to the temple anymore. It would be like never being able here in our country to ever come to a house of worship. You're doing it all on your own in seclusion. And now Ezekiel is on this mountain, and he looks all across it, and God gives him a vision of a vast army, an army that has been slaughtered by the enemy. There's nothing but death and decay and destruction. The vultures have picked clean the bones of all of those who have fought, and the sun has dried it out. There is nothing but a pile of bones, and Ezekiel says it is very dry. And then God says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" It's not just a message of prophecy for Israel thousands of years ago. It's a message for you and me today. A young man is in a wheelchair, crippled by an accident, and he looks up to his friend and he asks, "Do I have a future if I can never walk again?" The couple's in a counselor's office. They've been fighting for months, yelling and screaming at each other. They can't agree on anything whatsoever. They're always fighting. Can we go on? A widow, she's sitting in a chair. It's only been a few hours since they lowered the casket of her precious husband into the ground. Can I go on? Can these bones live again? Fact is that many, many people today live in the valley of dry bones. Now, it's true that some live in that valley for a very long time, and they're constantly wondering when the new day will come. One of my heroes growing up was a man by the name of Charlie Plum. Maybe you've heard of him. He wrote a book called I'm No Hero, and yet I think he's one of the greatest heroes that I had ever heard about. He flew fighter pilots in the Vietnam War. And one day as he was flying, he got hit by enemy fire. His plane began to go into a roll, and he was about to crash. But just before he did, he righted the plane enough so that he could eject himself from the cockpit. Unfortunately, he was captured immediately by the enemy, and he was immediately placed in an 8-foot by 8-foot bamboo prison. That would be his home for the next 6 years, a dirt floor and nothing but a tin can for a toilet. And to make the misery worse, each day the enemy would come in and they would torture him. Each day he writes, I thought that I could survive, but I couldn't take any more. And then they would take the ropes and they would twist his body tighter. And he would often be thrown back into that cell with torn muscles and dislocated bones. And each day he wrote, I thought that I couldn't take any more, and then they would do it again. Well, of course, he did finally find his freedom. And he flew back to the United States to his home in San Francisco, and immediately he tried to call his wife. After all, he had been separated from her for these 6 long years, no communication whatsoever, but he couldn't reach her. Finally, after a number of tries, he called his father. And his father told him the bad news. She had left him. She thought he was dead. And so she had met another man and she had remarried. And Charlie Plum wondered, will these bones ever live again? Will I have a family? Will I find a new relationship? How in the world can I go on? Some live in that valley for a long time, and I know that some of you have been there. And some of you are in that valley even now. I know some of you have gone through extremely difficult divorces, and you wonder if you'll ever reconcile. And even if you do, will you find love again with another person? At one time, it seemed like your marriage was made in heaven, and now it only seems like hell. Dry bones. Or you're in this dead-end job. You had dreams and aspirations of what your career might look like, but now only dry bones. Or maybe it's your relationship with your children. Nothing but yelling and screaming and dry bones. Or maybe it's aging. You know what the pundits say about aging. It's not for sissies, is it? You don't have the strength you once had, nor the stamina or the endurance. And it seems like you spend an inordinate amount of time in the doctor's office. Or maybe it's you taking care of your aging parents. And of course, you love dear old mom, you love dear old dad, but boy, does it get old. Same routine day after day after day with no end in sight. Some people will live a long time in the valley of dry bones, but make no mistake, all of us, every single one of us will spend at least a season in the valley of the dry bones. And when we are there, we cannot help but ask, can these bones live again? Is there any hope? Is there any end of our distress? Well, my friends, here's the good news for today. The answer is a resounding yes. These bones can live again. There is hope. There can be a resurrection, a revitalization, a new life for each and every one of us. Of course, the question we always ask is, how? How is this going to happen when I am in the pit, when it looks like there is no hope in sight? What do I hold on to? Well, the answer again is in our reading for today. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." We don't know. We don't know when. We don't even know if. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And there is the answer. Hear the word of the Lord. For that is where the power of resurrection and new life begins. In the very beginning, before there was anything God said, he uttered a word, "Let there be light," and there was. In John chapter 1, when the plan of God was shared with all of humanity, it goes, "In the beginning was the word." And that word, Jesus Christ, came and dwelt among us. We heard in our gospel reading for today that Mary and Martha were in the valley. Their brother had died. Lazarus was gone. He was a great friend of Jesus. It says that Jerusalem, where Jesus was, is only 2 miles away. 2 miles. He could have walked there in an hour. But he was delayed. Finally, when he gets there and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, Martha says, "Lord, if you'd only been here. If you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." And she was overcome with grief, as was Jesus. Will these bones live again? And then Jesus called out the word. He called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man rose. Don't miss the point of this miracle. Martha said, "Lord, I know that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And I know that one day my brother will rise." She believed in the resurrection. Easter is coming up in 2 short weeks. I hope you believe in the resurrection. But the point is that God's power is available now, here. And these bones, this valley that you are in, these dry bones, this hopelessness, this despair, this distress, can go away. Through the word of the Lord. So no matter where you're at or where you might have been or where you could be in the future, don't ever call any situation hopeless as long as you have the word of the Lord. Now, just an example from nature. Now, those of you who are younger, you're going to have to Google this. The rest of us, how many of you remember 1980 in Mount St. Helens, right? The top blew off of the mountain. The equivalent of 500 atomic bombs. Trees are blown to smithereens, literally into the size of toothpicks, upside down in the mud. The snow and the ice on the mountain are all melted, and there is a cascade, an avalanche of mud and lava and ash, tidal waves on the lakes there on Mount St. Helens. And it was predicted that there would never be life there again. And yet, in less than a year, even though now the rivers are less than 6 inches deep, the steelhead and the salmon find a way to get to the gullies and the gravel beds. And they lay their eggs, they spawn. And the cycle of life continues. Today, if you go there, the mountain is green, teeming with life. All we need to do is to look to the Word of God. All we need to do is to look to God's creation. All we need to do is look to the Bible. And over and over and over, we see that dry bones can live again. Remember Abraham? How old was Abraham when he had Isaac? He was 100 years old. Anybody here 100 today? Just asking. Anybody think they're going to be having a baby about that age? Sarah laughed. It's impossible. So, because God has a sense of humor, what do they name the baby? He laughs. So every time they see that little one, Isaac, crawling around, it's a reminder that God's promise is true. These bones can live again. Last week we heard about Joseph, the dysfunction of his family, despised by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison. Things look bleak. And yet, in a very short time, he becomes number two in all of Egypt and saves the world from famine. And Moses can't put together a coherent sentence. And God makes him the great preacher of the land of Israel, and he leads his people out of slavery. And David, the man after God's own heart, his own heart, filled with lust and adultery and deceit and ultimately murder. And yet God raises him up to be the king. And he's written those beautiful, glorious psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He makes these bones live again." And continuing through the New Testament, Zacchaeus, the wee little man, climbed up the sycamore tree. He's a cheater. He's a traitor. I mean, he's a tax collector. And yet one meal with the master and his life is transformed. And Peter, the denier, becomes the greatest apostle of the church. And even more grandly, St. Paul himself, a persecutor of the Christian, becoming the greatest missionary. Where's Grace Jones? The greatest missionary of the Christian church. These dry bones can live again. God can do miracles. Now, would you agree with me that it would be one thing if all of this was ancient history? And you say, so what, Pastor? The Old Testament is great, got all these great stories. New Testament is great, got all these great stories. But can miracles still happen today? Mary Magdalene had 7 demons, not 1 or 2 or 3. I don't know what that's like, 7 demons. And yet God uses her. He casts out those demons. She becomes the very first one to see the resurrection so that she can go back and tell all the disciples who are hiding. What can God do in your life? So that you have a new vitality and a new purpose. These dry bones can live again. And I've seen it here in this church. Marriage is restored. New love for those who never thought they would find it again. Reconciliation with children. Peace in a family. Drug addicts that are clean, alcoholics that are sober. We've even seen corrupt politicians turn their life around. Again, you're going to have to Google this if you're younger. Charles Colson, anybody? Remember him? Watergate, Richard Nixon. One of the most powerful and, by the way, nastiest men in Washington. The hatchet man for Nixon. Wouldn't let anything get in the way of power. And then he went to prison wearing the orange jumpsuit, humiliated, going from the highest pinnacle of power in Washington to penitentiary life. And yet God used him. God got a hold of him there. He transformed his life. And though Charles Colson died in 2012, his ministry, the prison fellowship, is now one of the most effective instruments in turning around the lives of prisoners in jail. Through the good news, through the word, which can bring dry bones to life. And so if you are there in the valley, whether it's just a season or whether it's been a very long time, look to the cross and look to the empty tomb and know that God can bring new life to you. As long as there is the word of the Lord, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, as Jesus asked Martha, do you believe? Yes, I believe, and not only in the resurrection on the last day, but the revival of your life and your purpose from the valley. Because these dry bones can live again.